Today is Monday, April 13th. Good evening for WRCO News. I'm Tim Thied. State Senator Howard Markline, Republican from Spring Green today, announced he will seek re-election to represent the 17th Senate District in the Wisconsin State Senate. Markline will begin circulating nomination papers on April 15th.
I am proud of everything we have accomplished together to make Wisconsin a great place to live, work, and raise a family. I am excited to continue our work in the next session. I am running again to keep investing in our shared priorities, protect Wisconsin's checkbook, continue working across the aisle to solve problems, and move Wisconsin forward.
Markline, who serves as co-chair for the Joint Finance Committee, listed his work on three bipartisan state budgets, investments in our K-12 schools, infrastructure, hospitals, and the healthcare system as key achievements. On Sunday evening, the Iowa County Communications Center received numerous complaints regarding a white work van traveling eastbound on U.S. Highway 18-151 near mile marker 50. Reports indicated driving behavior consistent with a possibly intoxicated driver. The vehicle was reported to be traveling at speeds varying from 30 and 65 miles per hour and all over the road. Numerous callers indicated the traffic was backing up as drivers seemed apprehensive about attempting to pass the suspect vehicle. Deputies with the Iowa County Sheriff's Office located the vehicle just west of the village of Barneveld and initiated a traffic stop. While engaged with the suspect vehicle, deputies noticed a male subject running down the eastbound shoulder of the highway towards the stop. Deputies made contact with the subject, who turned out to be the suspect's brother, himself intoxicated, who claimed to have run all the way from the city of Dodgeville. Deputies were able to determine that this second subject had exited the passenger seat of a separate vehicle traveling the same direction and ran some distance down the highway to assist. The second subject was subsequently left behind by the driver of the vehicle he had exited and was transported to the Iowa County Law Enforcement Center to wait for a sober ride. Meanwhile, the suspect was also transported to the Iowa County Law Enforcement Center to undergo field sobriety tests and then to a local hospital for blood draw. As a result of the traffic stop, Antonio Castro Lopez, 29, of Fitchburg, was arrested for OWI first offense with additional citations for possession of open intoxicants, operating without a license, and deviating from designated lane. Lopez was booked into the Iowa County Jail and then released to a responsible party. Also over the weekend on Saturday, the Iowa County Communications Center received three separate reports that resulted in arrests. The first report was received during the overnight in regards to a disturbance outside a business at the corner of East Chapel Street and North Union Street in the city of Dodgeville. The Dodgeville Police Department and the Iowa County Sheriff's Office responded to the scene. Following an investigation, KCM Radke, age 38, was arrested on criminal charges of substantial battery, intent bodily harm, and disorderly conduct. Radke was transported to the Iowa County Jail, where he was booked on the charges. The second report was received in the late afternoon about a vehicle rollover in the area of Mellum Road and County Road H in the township of Arena. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office and the Arena Fire Department and Arena EMS responded to the scene. Upon investigation, Zachary Frosch, age 33, was arrested for operating while under the influence, third offense. Frosch was transported to the Iowa County Jail and booked on the charges. The third report was received in the evening in regards to a report of a disturbance at a residence on Wells Street near Rock Branch Road in the city of Mineral Point. The Mineral Point Police Department and the Iowa County Sheriff's Office responded to the scene. Following an investigation, Amanda L. Wells, age 41, was arrested on charges of disorderly conduct, use of a weapon, and resisting or obstructing an officer. Wells was transported to the Iowa County Jail, where she was booked on the charges. Storms can develop quickly in Wisconsin, and knowing what to do when a severe weather warning is issued can help keep you and others safe. To help encourage everyone to be prepared for tornadoes, thunderstorms, and flooding, Governor Evers has declared this week a Severe Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. Wisconsin averages 23 tornadoes annually. In 2025, the National Weather Service confirmed 39 tornadoes in the state. That includes 15 tornadoes that touched down in a single day when storms moved across southern Wisconsin on May 15th of last year. The annual Wisconsin statewide tornado drill will occur Thursday afternoon and evening at 1:45 and 6:45. Schools, businesses, and families are encouraged to practice going to their nearest tornado shelter or safe location during these drills. If you live in a house, the safest area could be a basement, a ground floor interior room of a building that is not near windows, or a specially constructed safe room designed to withstand high winds and falling debris. If you live in an apartment, the safest location would be the lowest level with as many walls between you and the outside as possible. Stay away from the windows. Mobile homes are not a safe shelter location during a tornado. Identify a safer structure to go to, whether it is a community shelter location, nearby public buildings, or family and friends who live in a sturdy structure. Know your evacuation route from your home and how long it will take to get to a safer location. During the drill times, Wisconsin's National Weather Service office will conduct NOAA weather radio tests. Some communities may also choose to test their outdoor warning sirens during drill times. WRCO will be airing the tornado drills on Thursday. If there is a threat of severe weather, the statewide drills will be postponed until Friday. The annual winter moratorium on disconnections for non-payment of utility bills expires Wednesday. The moratorium from November 1st to April 15th prohibits utility providers from disconnecting residential heating services due to non-payment. If you are a customer who is behind on your bills, you may be at risk of disconnection if payment arrangements are not established by Wednesday. To avoid disconnection, you are encouraged to contact your utility to set up a payment plan. If you are having difficulty paying your energy bills, you may be eligible for assistance from the Department of Administration's Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program. WEAP is part of the state's Comprehensive Home Energy Plus program, which provides assistance with emergency energy needs, emergency furnace repairs, conservation service, and weatherization for low-income households. To apply online, go to energybenefit.wi.gov or apply by phone by calling 1-866-HEAT-WIS. That's 1-866-432-8947. If you cannot reach a payment agreement with your utility, contact the Public Service Commission by calling 1-800-225-7729 or by filing a complaint on the PSC website. After a volatile week at the pumps, Wisconsin's average price landed at $3.78 on Monday, dropping 2.7 cents per gallon from last week. Wisconsin's average price landed at $3.78 today, dropping 2.7 cents per gallon from last week. This is 41.6 cents higher than a month ago and over 70 cents per gallon higher than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say the breakdown in talks between the U.S. and Iran and renewed escalation between forces over the weekend signals another possible round of price increases ahead. Global supply concerns are increasing as President Trump is moving the U.S. military to blockade ships that are coming from Iranian ports. Gas Buddy officials say there is a meaningful restoration of shipping through the strait. Gasoline prices are likely to keep jumping higher. The City of Richland Center reminds residents that April brush collection is currently underway. Due to the high volume, each spring, collection takes longer than usual and may take up to 3 weeks to complete citywide. Collection is still limited to one pickup per address for the month. Crews are actively working through all areas. If your brush has not been collected by Thursday, April 23rd, please contact City Hall. Brush collection is for leaves, branches, and garden waste only. Materials should be placed at the curb, not in the street. Reminder to Richland County residents, ATV/UTV operators must be at least 16 years of age, must have a valid driver's license, and must carry proof of insurance coverage on any ATV or UTV being operated on any ATV/UTV route. All operators born after January 1, 1988 must possess a valid ATV safety certificate issued by the state. Operating hours are from 4 a.m. to 11 p.m. and are year-round. In April, the American Red Cross asks you to keep patients top of mind by making an appointment to give blood or platelets. Regular donors of all blood types and those looking to give for the first time are encouraged to make days brighter this spring for those in need. April is National Volunteer Month, and the Red Cross celebrates the kindness of blood donors and those who volunteer their time. There is no substitute for blood. Volunteer donors are essential to patient care. Blood program leaders and blood donor ambassadors are the heartbeat of the work at the blood donation centers and community blood drives. Two opportunities to give will be held in the area this week. The first will be Tuesday from 12:30 to 5:30 at the Lone Rock Community Building. The second will be held Friday from noon to 5 at St. Anthony and Philip Parish Center in Highland. Join the celebration of saving lives by booking a time to give blood or platelets now by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood donor app. WRCO News will continue right after this with today's vital statistics.